This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet, maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own 3 of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get 2. Be like me and get 3. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
We are going to take a quick pause from the current news and look at the future, because remember, I'm the Oracle. We're going to talk about some brand new monuments and honors that are going up around the country. And finally, I have some innovative face masks for you. All that's coming up right now on I'm Right. I need to be straight up with you tonight. I've got a lot on my mind. I don't like to get too personal on the show. I know you tune into the show to hear the news of the day, the future, the past. We talk about some history. We laugh a little bit. You know, we do us. So I don't like to do this personal stuff, but I think you all need to know my pickup truck is in the shop. It's in the shop. I have a broken sunroof, right? And it's 9,000 degrees here in Houston. And as I drive around, the sun is just baking me. I don't know if you can tell, my face is actually partially melted. That's from driving to and from work all week long with a sunroof that's stuck open. And they just called me today. And they said it's going to cost me $2,900 to fix the sunroof on a car. Well, I'm white trash. I'm not doing it. I'm putting tinfoil up with scotch tape on the roof of the truck, and I'm going home and I'm calling it a day. Now, you are asking yourself right now, okay, well, what does this have to do with politics or anything else? Absolutely nothing at all. It just, I enjoy having a TV show, and I like abusing that power every now and then just to talk about random stuff I like to talk about. Now, let us continue. We like to imagine our current situation is the only situation, but I can't help every now and then, we're going to do this every now and then on the show, to take a step away and think about the future situation. We're going to think about the presidential election. It's weird that that's coming, isn't it? We had all the coronavirus madness, economic destruction. Now we've had looting and rioting and insanity. It's July. We have a Democrat convention, a GOP convention coming up, and we have an election to decide the president of the United States of America. And the reason I'm trying to drive this point home is whether you're a huge Trump fan, kind of meh on Trump, whether you hate his guts, we do have to acknowledge we have a man running for president as the Democratic nominee who can't handle the job. It's not that I disagree with Joe Biden, although I very much do. We're going to go over that here in a minute. Remember this. He mentally cannot hold up to the job. President of the United States of America is possibly the most stressful job in the country. Have you ever seen one of those before and after pictures of Bush before, Bush after, Barack Obama before, Barack Obama after? They look like they just spent 8 years chain smoking Lucky Strikes one after the other. The job is so brutally mentally stressful, It ages you in dog years. Joe Biden looks like death now during a lockdown process where he spends 19 hours a day in his basement eating Werther's Originals and screwing up TV interviews. How is that person going to step into the Oval Office and make life-changing decisions that not only affect the lives of 330 million Americans, affect the lives of how many people live on the earth, Mitchell? Billions? It's a couple billion or something. I think it's five or six, whatever. Most of them are in China. But you know what I mean. Make decisions that affect the lives of billions of people. Joe Biden can't hold a thought in his head. And let's not forget, this is a dangerous time to be an old, weak, feeble Democrat stepping into the highest office. Why is it a dangerous time? Because the powers that be in the Democrat Party, the loud Marxists that are running the show now in the Democrat Party, they will not be shut up. They will not be ignored. And so Joe Biden, whatever Joe Biden believes, if Joe Biden even believes anything at this point, once you've been in Washington for 9,000 years like Joe Biden is, you don't have any real beliefs. But whatever Joe Biden believes, doesn't matter. He's too old, weak, and feeble to stand up against the monsters in his party. Look at this person praising Joe Biden. Yikes.
And these folks, needless to say, people who represented the progressive movement had a different perspective on things than did Biden's people. But there was serious discussion and I think a real honest effort to come up with a compromise. And I think the compromise that they came up with, if implemented, will make Biden the most progressive president since FDR. Mm-hmm. It did not have, needless to say, everything that I wanted, didn't have everything that Biden wanted.
The most progressive since FDR? The guy virtually responsible for all the big government we see today, that FDR? Look, Democrat, Republican, no matter what you think, we can't afford another FDR at this point in time. This government can't. Have you seen the debt? We can't do this. And at a time when it's this dire, when it's this serious, we have Republicans like Susan Collins. She's not really sure which way she's going to go. Quote, I do not campaign against my colleagues in the Senate. My inclination is just to stay out of the presidential race and focus on my own race. Well, with the Republican Party unified like that, how can we fail? Donald Trump Jr. appears to have a very good idea of what's going to happen next.
And the radical left entirely controls Joe Biden and the party. And let's not kid ourselves. I think you've pointed it out more than clearly. You know, no one believes that Joe Biden's going to ever actually be the guy in charge if he pulls this thing off, does it?
He's right. And isn't that even scarier? I'd rather go with the devil I know. Don't give me this team of advisors behind you who's whispering God only knows what in your ear. I think I'd rather have Bernie Sanders than Joe Biden. At least I know what I'm getting, even though there's like some spit on the microphone and whatnot. Nikki Haley, not exactly the biggest Trump fan in the world. She's out there.
Look, I mean, we've had true results with President Trump. You don't have to like him, but look at the results that he's done and raised the quality of life for so many people. Then look at the results of Biden with President Obama. The African American community, women, Hispanics, none of us felt those results like we have with President Trump. So facts matter. Results matter. There's no question if you put these side by side, if we go with a President Biden, we will lose our rule of law. We will have the progressives really running away with everything.
Yeah, it's hard to ignore that. What if, and this is going to be a horrifying thought, please, Lord, don't let this come true. What if they take the Senate too? You know there's a chance of that, right? In Arizona, our candidate sucks. We're going to lose Arizona. We're going to have gone from two Republican senators in Arizona to two Democrat senators. We might be in some trouble. Make sure you get out there and work hard for Trump this November, because we cannot have this person take the Oval Office.
What I proposed is It can be done. I think we're in a position to really make it happen. And my team and your team are already working closely together in to light up the path forward here. Critical laws like the PRO Act to strengthen collective bargaining. On politics like prevailing and... Look, I guess I'm taking too much time, but, you know...
Or this person.
This guy's whole idea of America on its own is meant America alone. We're out there by ourselves.
Or this person.
All of a sudden, this phrase, everybody's been woked. Well, guess what? The rest of the working class people in America have been awakened and realized, whoa.
That's not how you use that word, woke. And somebody on Team Biden, you know, somebody on Team Biden's watching the show. I understand you're dealing with a man with some limitations. Can we not try to do that thing where we make Joe Biden younger and hipper? Joe Biden's struggling using the language of his time from 1915. He's not going to do well trying to use the language of 2020. All I'm saying, some free advice there. All of that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Now, we just talked about what may come with Biden. You know you need to diversify your portfolio, right? You do know you should be investing some of your money because, as you've seen, your job can be taken away from you like that. And do you have all your money in stocks and bonds? Is your 401k, your IRA, all stocks and bonds? If it is, what are you thinking? Get a hold of birchgold.com/Jesse. They have a free 20-page kit there. It's going to dump all the information on you to find out how to move your money into a precious metals IRA, keeping it safer. Birchgold.com/Jesse. Go get your free kit. This is a company with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. They will take care of you. All right. We'll be back. You ever feel like you're going nuts? Absolutely crazy? Like you're the only person who can clearly see what's happening out there and nobody else around you can? I feel like that a lot now, especially when I assess what's happened with the whole Black Lives Matter, police brutality, protest thing. Just let's recap this for just a quick moment. I know you know, but let's recap this for just a moment. That cop in Minneapolis killed that guy. Cop has since been charged. All good, right? Cop in Minneapolis killed George Floyd. It's all been good. You realize there's still not even a little bit of evidence that that was in any way racially motivated? And I mean nothing. This is the day and age where you can dig through, you know, somebody's Facebook posts from 20 years ago, somebody's ex-wife, ex-girlfriend. Oh, I heard him say something bad about a black dude. What? Nothing. There's been nothing. Not one thing says that was racially motivated. Okay, so we have that. Then we have the statistic of 9. 9 unarmed black men were killed by police in all of 2019. The entire year, there were 16 white people. So this myth of police out there hunting down black people, it's not true. I'm sorry, I don't need to do this thing. Well, I mean, both sides, you have to... No, I have numbers. I have data in front of me. It's not true. I don't have to act like, well, we're both kind of right. No, we're not. You're wrong and I'm right. Okay, so we don't have police hunting down black people. It wasn't racially motivated in Minneapolis. And then this group, Black Lives Matter, pops up. Black Lives Matter has been around a little while. You know the last big time we saw Black Lives Matter? When that guy in Dallas went crazy and murdered a bunch of cops. You remember that night in Dallas? You know what he was talking about right before the cops finally finished him off? Black Lives Matter. This Black Lives Matter group is led by radicals who are on videotape saying they've been trained by Marxists. There are people with terrorist ties to Black Lives Matter. You can go directly to their website and see some of the most insane social justice warrior leftist Marxist stuff you've ever seen in your entire life. This is, by any account, whether you're a Republican or Democrat, and absolutely way out of the mainstream group with some severely radical views. Now, think about how mainstream that has become. Do you know an actor, actress, athlete, corporation that hasn't gone out there with the, gotta put my Black Lives Matter hashtag on Instagram? They're all doing it. This has become something people have legitimized. What, because of a name? Are we idiots now? Is that what we are? Do we have the IQ of a gerbil now? It's a good name. Is that what we are? We can't look into groups anymore? So I can start a Puppy Lives Matter groups and I can just do whatever I want with it and it'll be fine? Are we that dumb now? I'm not trying to insult my own countrymen. Believe me, I'm not. But is that what we are? Think how many young people, and I'm not one of these guys, every young person's stupid, but think how many young people are out there, including many Republicans, talking about police brutality, Black Lives Matter, without a clue. Without a clue. This thing has caught society it's caught society on fire. They're looting, they're burning, they're murdering across the country. There are racially motivated hate crimes against white people going on all across the country. And somehow this movement, it's not getting tamped down. It's gaining legitimacy. They're putting up a Black Lives Matter mural in New York City. Trump is not pleased about it. Trump said, quote, New York City is cutting police dollars by $1 billion, and yet the New York City mayor is going to paint a big, expensive yellow Black Lives Matter sign on Fifth Avenue, denigrating this luxury avenue. This will further antagonize New York's finest, who love New York. And on to that, New York's finest. We've decided Black Lives Matter are the good guys, and the cops are the enemy? What kind of Twilight Zone have I woken up in? And this guy I'm about to play for you, it's really astounding when you think about it. This utter moron I'm about to play for you, he's the mayor of maybe the greatest city in the world?
President Trump said that we would be denigrating the luxury of Fifth Avenue. Let me tell you, we are not denigrating anything. We are liberating Fifth Avenue. Yes, we are uplifting Fifth Avenue. Yes, who built this city? Who built this nation? And never got the acknowledgement, yes, the recognition, the compensation.
Yeah. The Sergeants Benevolent Association, it's an NYPD group, they responded to this. Obviously, they are horrified. Quote, tell my family I love them, end quote. Those are the words of a murdered cop. No politician will paint those words in the street, protest, label NFL or NBA jerseys, or play it over and over on TV news. But starting now, I will, and so will every cop, friend, and family member. De Blasio blames COVID-19 for the rise in murder and shootings. Is painting Black Lives Matter in front of Trump Tower going to stop the shootings? Ask the mayor and city council why this murder happened. The streets of New York City are spilling with blood. And I should mention that Tell My Family I Love Them, you probably don't know, or maybe you do, what that's about. There's audio out there of an officer down, and the audio is him radioing back to dispatch saying that, before we finally lost him. I considered playing it for you. I don't want to. It's too heavy. Maybe you disagree with that, and that's fine. It's too heavy. It's too much. I thought it would absolutely drag you down. But this Sergeant Benevolence Association is 100% right. We should all be talking about that. How freaking awful. All right. We're going to be back, but first, you in hard times and good times, but definitely in hard times, you need a good night's sleep. And you need a good night's sleep every single night. And you know what you really shouldn't be doing? You shouldn't be taking sleeping pills to do it. Creating this reliance on it in your body, in your mind. You know you can get all natural sleep without any of that, right? It's called Ebb Sleep. You put it on. It provides continuous cooling to your forehead area, which calms your thoughts down and zonks you out. And believe me, you will sleep like a baby. You can try it risk-free for 60 days. Go to tryebb.com/Jesse. That's tryebb.com/Jesse. Use the promo code Jesse. Save yourself some money. Save $25. We'll be back. Joining me now to talk about polling, Joseph Pinion III. He's a political strategist and chair of the Conservative Color Coalition. I'm glad you are on today, Joseph, because I find polling to be the most fascinating thing in the world. People on the right love to act like it doesn't matter at all because it always seems to show us losing. It clearly does matter because all the candidates sink a fortune into it on some level. How much does polling matter? How accurate is it?
Well, look, I don't think polling will ever tell you who is going to win, but polling can certainly tell you the trends and what you might want to avoid. And so when a poll starts spitting out the same results over and over again, month after month, it's time to take notice. And so for me, when I look at polling that shows that President Trump is down, I don't necessarily think that that means that he's losing. But I do think it means that somehow we have to find new ways to gain traction. Because if we know that the people who voted for President Trump the first time around didn't want to tell pollers that they were going to vote for him, why on earth now in this current environment would people expect that they'd be more eager to tell those same snickering pollsters that they have any intention of voting for President Trump to see a second term?
Why aren't they, either in your opinion, or maybe you have some numbers on it? Because I agree. I mean, look at all the insanity of the left right now, and you think to yourself, it's a no-brainer. But you're right, and I've talked to a bunch of pollsters who are saying the same thing. He is losing or has lost a percentage of his support. Do we know why?
Well, look, I think first and foremost, you have to look at the fact that, you know, the same way we had polling coming out of the backside of El Paso, that tragic shooting, which showed that President Trump was down, you have individuals who have not seen their grandparents in months. You have individuals who have not received a paycheck in 3 months. Some Americans who have been only trying to live off of a check for $1,200 since March. So those are the very real forces at play right now on people's minds when they receive a phone call on a phone line they haven't paid the phone bill for in 2 months, asking how they think about President Trump's approval rating. And so now I think is the time for the president and I think the Republican Party to remind America as to why they placed their faith in President Trump in the first place. You say that President Trump went toe-to-toe with China, and China repaid his strength with a plague that they released on the world. And not only did they release that plague on the world, but then they basically got the World Health Organization to do their bidding. To say that before the Corona-19 crisis, the COVID-19 crisis, we had an economy that was doing more for more people instead of an economy that was led by Obama and Biden. And so lower wages for black people, lower wages for women, lower wages for young people. So those are the contrasts that I think we need to start making and getting people to focus not on the kind of tragicness of the present, but on the promise of the future.
Now, it's one thing, as you pointed out, to dog on the big cheese. Everybody gets mad at their own head football coach. Everyone gets mad at the quarterback. Put in the backup. This guy's a bum. It's another thing entirely when you go to the polls and vote for the other guy. I have always believed, especially when you're trying to unseat a sitting president, which everybody knows is very hard, you have to give people a reason to vote for you and not just against Trump. Am I wrong, though? You're the expert.
Well, look, I think that's the reason. I think Democrats want to keep us trapped in the status quo. I think the mainstream media certainly wants to keep us trapped in the status quo. That's why you see them basically perpetually covering COVID-19 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because if you keep people trapped in terror, they never start to have the conversation about what comes next. And the what comes next is where I think President Trump has the advantage with Joe Biden. Do you want to get in a DeLorean with Marty McFly, a.k.a. Joe Biden, and go back to the future, back to an Obama economy that didn't work for most people, you know, back to, you know, the slowest recovery in the history of the modern world, coming out of the backside of that recession? Or do you want to start saying, who is going to build a 21st century infrastructure plan for America? Who is going to be the person that gets the 7 million people that got jobs pre-COVID-19 back to work? So I think those are the questions that are at play here. Who is going to be the person that truly stands for educational choice, particularly at a time when we can't even put children on the bus to send them to school?
Why won't Republicans be, especially now, I think it's killing them that they haven't been more bold, and they really haven't been more bold speaking out against this Black Lives Matter insanity. You'll never convince me the public polls are standing behind Black Lives Matter. Maybe people are scared to speak out against it because they don't want to be called a racist anymore, but it blows me away. Republicans will not stand up and be bold and speak out against this leftist group. It's not some civil rights group. It's a freaking Marxist front group. And yet we have Republicans all over the Senate too scared, not knowing to stand up and condemn them.
Well, look, I think what we've done a poor job of as a party is making the distinction between Black Lives Matter, Inc. and Black Lives Matter, the hashtag. I think there's a lot of Black people across this country who just simply want to have equality, just simply want to feel safe in their own homes. And I think that that's an argument the Republicans can win on, to say that, look, you can't talk about defunding the police when you've got a 27% increase in homicide year over last in New York City, when every single person that's been murdered in New York City in the month of June was a minority, when you've got an 83% increase in homicide in a place like Chicago year over last this time of year. So those are the types of conversations that I think the Republicans can lead on. I think they can push back. I think they can say that all people were horrified by the atrocity that was committed against George Floyd, that we would have a tyrannical member of government basically have his knee on someone's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. That is the type of message that I think can break through some of these sound bites that Democrats try to flood the airways with, to blind Black Americans and Americans writ large to the fact that they have done very little for anybody except keep people exactly where they are.
Yes, Joseph, I agree with you. And by the way, I hope you run for Senate. For Pete's sake, we need somebody like you there. But where is that message? I haven't heard that message. I heard that message from Joseph Pinion III about 30 seconds ago. What I haven't heard is a single United States senator on the Republican side get up and vocalize what you just said. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm thrilled everybody who watches my show gets to hear it from you, but I think the American people need to hear it from leaders in this country. Where are they?
Look, we are, I think President Trump is obviously the leader of our party, but we're starting to have to understand that, as Rick Pitino so eloquently said, that Kevin McHale's not walking through that door, that Larry Bird's not walking through that door. And so we are the ones that we have been waiting for to choose from that eloquent Barack Obama. I think Republicans have to seize on that message for ourselves to say that there has to be a new covenant of conservatives to make with Americans, to make with ourselves, to say that the solutions that carry the day, whether you're talking about on climate, whether you're talking about on justice, they have to be conservative solutions, because the solutions that are being put forth on the left will lead us to doom and gloom and literally the dissolution of the union.
Okay, where do we go from here? Let's hope to God Donald Trump wins in November. What is the second term Donald Trump agenda? Because presidents can't tackle everything. Everybody wants them to. Here's my 45 points. I want you to do it all. They don't have the political capital to do that. What should be priority one for a second term Trump administration that we hope happens?
There's no vehicle to break poverty that would transcend outcomes for not just Black people, but all Americans, then tackling infrastructure. When you look at places like New Orleans, if you have a car, you are 10 minutes away from any job opportunity you need. If you do not have a car, you are 90 minutes away from potential job opportunities. That type of limitations in locomotion is a detriment to opportunity, is why you have people tethered to apartments where they can barely afford working at jobs that don't pay them what they need to live. When you can have something like a Hyperloop, when you can have infrastructure where someone can live in Nebraska and still make it home for dinner in time in Texas, That is the type of transcendent 21st century approach that allows people to live further away. You see rent coming down. And as my grandfather taught me at a very young age, you know, you don't necessarily have to give people more money to make sure you have life being more affordable. You just have to be smarter about the way that we use those resources to get people the outcomes that they deserve.
I better be seeing some Joseph Pinion for Congress or something signs up pretty soon. Joseph Pinion III, thank you. I appreciate you, my man.
Jesse, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Be good. Guy nailed it. Guy nailed it. A lot of things right now. I wish our people talk like that a lot more. Now, this is going to be difficult for me to say. I had to drive my wife's car to work today. We got trucks in the shop, and because I had to drive the wife's car to work, I couldn't have my phone hooked up to the Bluetooth in the car. And I listen to things the whole way to work, and I'm going crazy, and it won't hook up. I'm old. I don't know how to do this stuff. Now, I'm officially doing that thing where I'm looking at the phone. I just pulled out my Raycon earbuds. Cruise to work the whole way. You hardly know they're there. They're just these tiny, comfortable little black things that fit right in your ear. Crystal clear sound. The problem is now I think I ruined car Bluetooth for the future for me because I'm just going to keep the Raycon earbuds in there for about half the cost of other high-end earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/Jesse, and that actually gets you 15% off the already great price. Buyraycon.com/Jesse. We'll be back. Joining me now, actor, singer, and director, a man you will obviously recognize, Robert Davi. Robert, how in the world does one get to be an actor, director, and also have the talent to sing when there are people like me out there without any artistic talent whatsoever?
Well, I beg to differ, Jesse, because I think you have artistic talent and you're expressing yourself. You know, we all have the need. I think man's biggest hunger is to express and to communicate. And whatever medium you choose, that's your art form. It could be making, cobbling shoes together, murals, whatever. I just happen to like language and singing at an early age. In my family, there was a lot of encouragement for the arts, as well as for sports. But I had a huge passion for film and for acting and for singing. And at an early age, I did all three. And I then approached it as if I were an Olympic athlete at those tasks, you know, and trained. I think if you put your passions and you train hard enough, you know, Stella Adler, who was one of my mentors, one of the greatest acting teachers of all time. She taught Brando, De Niro, many people, very influential from the 1920s on, was the first woman to really, or first person to study with Stanislavski. She had a quote. She says, "Don't try to figure out who you are. Know what you can do and do it like Hercules."
I dig that. Which one do you like best? Acting, singing, directing? Which one do you like best? Which one challenges you the most?
They all have a great challenge aspect to them all. They all do. Acting has the... acting helps the singing. I mean, everything helps. Music helps directing. It helps the singing. They all intertwine, and there's a part of them that I love. I love all of them, but the singing, because it's a solitary, well, it's not really solitary, it's the band behind you, which is like a wave that you ride into the audience or into music, and it's that communication with the audience, the back and forward, the immediate. You know, Gustav Mahler said music is the closest to the absolute, and that's where I feel with music, I'm communicating through a spiritual medium into the hearts and minds and souls of people. And that's where the biggest exchange comes from what I get from them and they give to me.
Why do people love it? All mankind loves it. All mankind always does. I understand you're a huge Sinatra guy and have an album coming out, or it's already out. Why do people love it? People sit and listen to Frank Sinatra. I listen to Frank Sinatra. I've got him on my phone. I'm 39. What do I have Frank Sinatra on my phone for? But people love that music to this day. Why? What? Why?
Well, now you got to put my album on your phone, Jesse, and some of my live performances on YouTube. But the reason why is the Great American Songbook, of which Sinatra, to me, is the greatest interpreter of. There were many giant like Sammy Davis Jr. or Dean Martin, Billy Eckstein, many great singers of the songbook that helped build the songbook. But Sinatra, Bing Crosby even, great giant. But Sinatra was the voice of a time. Sinatra embodied, I think he was the first method singer. What do I mean by that? Crooning, or singing as it was, except for the opera, the bel canto in opera, which he was a big proponent of, that expressed emotion, and all music did, blues and jazz. Sinatra was able to personalize the lyric like no one else. That's why I call him the first method singer. He sang his life. He bared it out there. And the Great American Songbook, I call the Shakespeare of America, the golden age of American music. It's what made the world fall in love with our country. It taught a lot of people English. It affected them in a romantic way about coming to America. The American Songbook is the amalgam of the American experience, coming from the black jazz and jump blues artists, their struggle, the Irish, English, Native American, Lebanese, the Swedish, Norwegian, German, Finnish, you name it, whatever country, anyone that was here since the Revolutionary War, and then a large portion of the sons and daughters of Jewish immigrants created this American songbook. It's the amalgam of their spiritual journey that was able to create in this music, as it was in blues and everything else. But this transpires, and I travel the world, and no matter where I go, from Australia to Macau, or to Italy, or Norway, Sweden, Finland, Estonia, who had many times there, no matter where I go, the American songbook is respected and loved. And I think it's the amalgam of this experience, this immigrant experience put into the music, is what made the people love this music and why it responds. It was a romantic time. You know, you think about the song, and I love all music, Jesse, but you think about in 1957, the song that won Best Oscar was All the Way, from a film Sinatra did called The Joker is Wild. A beautiful love song. 2006, It's Hard Out There for a Pimp won the Oscar. So when you see the dissipation of culture, that is affecting our society. And the American songbook, as I believe, should be taught in schools, as does Quincy Jones. Quincy agrees, he's one of the biggest proponents of having this music taught in school. And taking that music out of the schools was a big disservice to the nation, I believe. So that's one of the reasons why the songbook is, and why Sinatra matters. Sinatra was the first singer to come out against anti-Semitism and racial bigotry. He was one of the first proponents of coming out against anti-Semitism and racial bigotry, one of those stars that did that at that time.
I agree with you 100%. It was so funny you brought this up, because I was just watching the other night, that because there's no new movies out now, we have a local theater playing some older stuff, and they had the original Ghostbusters on. Took my sons out to the original Ghostbusters. And about halfway through, I lean into my wife and said, it's so wholesome now. Movies are so wholesome back then, you know, versus, and that's the 80s, you know, versus now. What happened there, Robert? You've been in it for a long time. How did it change so much? I can't take my kids to hardly anything today.
Yeah. Look, I'm all for edgy films and, you know, art that pushes the boundaries. But I'm from... We get criticized. A lot of conservatives get criticized because they say we want America to go backwards. Well, it's not backwards. I think what's happening is we're becoming more savage. It's not going backwards. The forwardness right now has turned into a savagery against each other, against faith, against a lot of other things. And part of that, they used to make fun of those wholesome kind of shows that showed the family unit together in a nice way. And there was a goodness about that. I'm not saying not showing what it is, but what they're doing is they're giving a license for us to dissipate society, our culture, and our family lives. They're giving it an okay. They're saying, hey, guys, this is the new norm. Live like this. And it's chaotic. So that's part of the reason. In those old films, you had a lot of studio heads that were the immigrant population that ran those studios that were they wanted American values. They wanted American values. They wanted to to lift man's spirit. And today, what we have is we have a cultural Marxist revolution that's been brewing in this nation since the 1920s, I have to tell you, and especially in the arts and in the media and in politics. Now is the tipping point. They have done it through education, through indoctrination, through immigration, illegal immigration, not holding people accountable. They've been misrepresenting the truth of history to promote an agenda. And that happened even in the 50s. Ronald Reagan was a sole voice fighting for this. He was at one time a bleeding heart liberal, Ronald Reagan. And in the 1940s, he had there was a big meeting of the Communist Party in Hollywood. And Ronald Reagan crashed the meeting on William Holden told him about it. And Reagan crashed the meeting and started to speak, and they shouted him down, much like they're shouting conservative voices down now. I'm for let everybody speak. Let us all have a speak, but don't shout us down. And don't call us racist and other things because you disagree with what we're feeling or what our point of view is. And there is racism, both sides. A friend of mine told me today, he was a young black man. He brought an Italian girl to his home, and his mom said, get her out of here. I don't want the white girl in the house. He goes, Mom, she's Italian. She's not really white. But there's both sides are guilty. Both sides are guilty. And no one is innocent. And we're playing this holier-than-thou, left-wing, Marxist, flag-waving of destruction for our culture and our history. Now, they infected, going back to Reagan, Jesse. Ronald Reagan, spoke. They were shouting him down at this meeting in the 40s, and John Garfield, the sole actor, said he should speak. Let him speak. He has a right to speak. And Reagan spoke for 45 minutes amidst shouts and everything else, and a guy named Howard De Silva took John Garfield in the back and berated the hell out of him. 2 years later, Garfield died of a heart attack. The left berates you if you don't agree with them. Reagan, later on in life, was called a one-man wrecking crew of the Communist Party in Hollywood. Now, they controlled studio readers. In other words, and some of the social agenda was good. I'm not saying it was all bad, but if the script leaned toward something more pro-American, some of it wouldn't be done. And they would push their socialist Marxist agenda in there incrementally. All right, so we had a flame on low since the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, each year going up higher. And right now, we're at the boiling point of what was set up on purpose. And no one did anything. It frustrates me, Jesse, because you think about in the 60s and 70s when you had the Weather Underground, and no one's bringing up Bill Ayers and the Weather Underground. That's what exactly is going on today. When they would blowing up police precincts in the 70s and the Pentagon and calling cops pigs and everything else, and they were squashed. They went underground even more into education. No one was bringing that up. No one. They bring it up a little bit, but not with the historical reference. And you're not going to get it from Don Lemon or Chris Cuomo or anybody on MSNBC. You're not going to get the real story or the real truth.
Well, so, you're not going to get much from those guys, period. Robert Davi, thank you so much. It has been an honor. So that was fascinating. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you, sir. That guy's awesome. I wish we had more of that in Hollywood. All right. We will be back. There's a lot to be proud of when you're an American. And one of the things I'm most proud of as an American is the American ability to innovate, to see a problem and come up with a new solution to that problem. So when I see so many Americans across the country being required to wear face masks, you know, face mask here, face mask there, can't come in here without a face mask, I have been nothing short of inspired by watching Americans like this. See, that's a person thinking outside of the box right there. That person, and also this woman in Florida, she ain't going down for COVID. Take a look at this. See that? That's somebody who wants to stay healthy. This guy, we're going to cross the pond. This guy's in Germany. He really has taken it to the next level. I appreciate using the eye holes there. And in case you would like more information on how to appropriately copy these great people, we have just a short little video here just showing you just the proper technique if you so desire to use your underpants to cover your face with. I just want to go. All right, we have a great special for you tomorrow. I'll see you then.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. It's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.